Hello? Hello? Is anyone there? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Is anyone there?
Hey guys, welcome to the Big Bold Faith Podcast, a podcast dedicated to getting real bold and honest when it comes to living and fighting for our everyday faith. It's a new Wednesday, so you know it's a new episode here, and I'm so excited for you to be here. My name is Brittany Durfee, and I am your host. Welcome. Hola. ¿Cómo te va? Hello, mis amigos, all my friends. Hello. So excited for you to be here in February still, you guys. We are just making way in 2022, and I hope that you're having the most beautiful year possible. And I'm just so excited for today's episode. I prayed for you guys, so I'm excited for you to be here too. And if you're thinking, Big Bold Faith Podcast, someone sent this to me. Who is this? What is this? We are here being ordinarily bold. And if you're wondering what that really means, it's really anchored on the book of Acts. We are here being ordinary people that God has called us to be in all of our likeness. It doesn't take anything more or anything less than the people that who we are. God didn't want all of us to be preachers and deacons and prophetess. He just wanted ordinary people that would obey, that would just listen to him, that will go out into the world and make disciples and fishers of men. So if that sounds like you, if you've ever been kind of on the brink of, you know, I'm into this faith thing, I've been walking for a little bit, maybe you're new and you're like, I just want to be more confident in saying who I believe without being timid, without feeling afraid of what the world is thinking, well, welcome to the Big Bold Faith Podcast. And I just want to just thank you in advance for the word that God has given me. I hope that it really touches you guys. And our episode last week, we were talking about what's love got to do with it. And if you haven't listened to it, I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen to it. I've heard so many great feedback, and it's not because of me. It's because I was listening to what God has told me and showed me when it comes to this ministry, what has come to this assignment. And so I never want to get on here and just say things that come from my own mind and my own heart. Yes, I have examples and I've got testimonies to go along with it, but it is really by God's grace and mercy and showing up to him daily that I'm able to get a word from him to be able to instruct and to be able to encourage your boldness in your faith. So if it is your first time, you're thinking, okay, this sounds great. Maybe you listened to last week's episode. You know what would be even better is if you subscribe. Go ahead, hit the subscribe button. If you're rocking with Spotify, there's a bell. If you're on iTunes, go ahead, make sure you hit the subscribe and you listen to all the episodes that you might haven't already listened to. Leave a review. I want to hear from you guys. I want to hear greatness or, you know, what God has been showing you and what episodes or what topics you want to hear for in the future. Now, before we even jump into this week's episode, I have to start with gratitude. First, I want to thank my sound guy, my sound engineer, my A1, my secret sauce to the podcast. His name is Mert. He's always rocking with me every single week, and I'm so grateful and so honored just to be in partnership, you guys. When you do this walk, when you are on assignment, the assignment isn't just for you. God gives you resources. God gives you people to come alongside you, to be your Aaron and your Hur, to be able to walk out the things that he's called you to do. It's not just for you. So if you're feeling overwhelmed, I encourage you, go back to the Father and say, God, maybe this isn't just for me. Who else around me is supposed to be helping me along? Who else is supposed to be in this ministry with me? So I encourage you to do that. Shout out to all my friends, too, for holding me down. It is a lot of work, but I'm so grateful that you guys just keep me accountable, keep edifying me, keep speaking life into me, because all of that's important to who you have in your circle of faith. Those people are the people that are going to help you run your race according to God's will. So now that I've gotten all of that out, you guys, again, like I said, it is still the month of February. We're still on this focus of love, amor, all of the great things when it comes to love. And I'm not just talking about the red heart and the Valentine's Day, but with this focus of love, I thought, so you have love, but what's love without a commitment, right? So let's be honest. Many of us don't like commitments. It feels rigid. It feels like you have to do something that you don't always want to do. You're feeling like Paul, right? It feels limiting. It feels tiring. It feels like you're surrendering. And most of us, well, most of us have commitment problems. Yep, I said it. You are a commitment phobe. And if we break down the ideal of commitment, commitment goes by this definition of a state of quality of being dedicated to a cause, an activity. Other adjectives describe it as devotion, allegiance, loyalty, faithfulness. And when we divide it and we look into the suffix, I know this is like English 101, you guys, bear with me, I'm getting there. Commitment, when you break it down as commit, commit means to carry out. And meant, not only is it meant, but to be put into action of doing something or the result of an action. So, what's another word for commitment? Can you guys guess? It's obedience. Yes, I said it. It's obedience. And yes, this episode is about obedience. So there, now you have it. Obedience too is love, you guys. It got me to thinking like, we are so afraid of this ideal of obedience because we all have commitment issues. So we all have obedient issues. And yet some of us feel like we're being held hostage, right? The word of obedience feels very religious. I think if you're not in the church and you say, oh, be obedient to me, it seems like, and I'm going to be frank and honest, it sounds like you're a dog, right? Like, you need to obey me. You need to be obedient to me. You only hear that word and that phrase when you're talking to either children that are younger than you, or if you're speaking to an animal or something that you hold content of, or something that's out of place that doesn't, you don't align yourself with, right? Anything that's below you, you look to and say, I want you to be obedient to me. I want you to follow me. I want you to look up to me. And many of us, when we hear that word, we don't like to be obedient. Like I said, we feel held hostage, like a slave, like someone is ruling over our lives, that they don't love us. It's confusing. It sounds religious. But do you want me to tell you what you're doing when you say you want to obey? It starts with the first letter of obedience. When you're obedient, the O means you're omitting yourself from the plan. You are excluding your feelings, your plans, your thoughts, your passions. You're leaving them all on the table undone. So the next time you say, yes, God, I would love to be obedient to you, you are also saying, God, yes, I would like to omit, take myself off the table of everything that you're asking me to do. It's like when it tells you to omit the salts, the thems, whatever it is in the recipe that it's asking you to take out, you do it anyways. You intentionally or forgetfully leave them in. And yes, I said forgetfully because I don't believe that when we are in obedience that we're not unintentional, that we are intentionally forgetting the thing that God has showed us to do. A lot of us will go around saying, oh, I didn't know. And as much as I would like to say that that's true, I don't believe that's true. And a lot of people are going to look at me side-eye, and that's fine because I feel like in one way or another, he showed you a slight moment in where he was asking you to obey. And now in your humanness, you may have forgotten it, but you still know. You're still aware. It's not unintentional. It's intentionally that you forgot because in your humanness, we forget things that don't matter to us or that we don't care about. God has given us all the opportunity to be aware of his instruction. And the worst thing you can do is to have an instruction from God, the Holy One, the creator of heaven and earth, the maker, the God Almighty, and ignore it or forget it. Obedience is all about following and keeping the course. It's not a one and done, nor is it just come only when we call on it, but it is a daily occurrence. There's so many people out there that thinks obedience is this big, you know, pie in the sky of just asking God one thing or being able to ask God for the one thing. And sometimes God's instructions are big, but mostly God's instructions are small. They're daily. They're like small, minute things that happen day to day, second by second. And if you get good in obeying God on the daily, on the regular, in the minute to minute, you get good at obeying God in the big, in the boldness, in the faithfulness. When he asks you to be like Abraham and to get up and to move and to pack yourself and to go into a foreign land that you know nothing about, that's how you get to that type of boldness and faithfulness. God didn't ask Abraham just one time to say, "Hey, Abraham, pick up your stuff and go." It was the day-to-day that we didn't even get a chance to observe Abraham being faithful. So many of us don't want to obey, or when we want to obey what feels comfortable to us instead of what we end up doing is we play God like a slot machine. And just think of this ideal, you guys. You're at a slot machine, right? And pardon me, I was in Vegas this week for work, but I just thought of it like you keep pulling on God until you get what you want. Until it looks the way you want, you just keep pulling on God to say, "Nope, that doesn't fit me." I want to keep pulling until it makes me feel comfortable, until it's the thing that I prayed for, until I get what I want in my feelings and my emotions. In Hebrews 11, 6 through 8, it says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God." And this is the part that I like, you guys. You guys have all heard that part before, but I said Hebrews 11, 6 through 8 on purpose because I feel like, and I'll keep sharing this with you guys, make sure you're reading the before and the after of every scripture. So if you hear pastors and sermons and everyone, even myself, make sure you read the full book so that it's in its full context and that you're not just cherry picking out scriptures and words that make you feel good, that you memorize. Yes, it's great, but there's so much in the before and the after as you are going along learning and experiencing God. So in Hebrews 11, 6 through 8, I'll read it again. "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith." This is the part that I like, you guys. Verse 8. "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went." I'm gonna pause right there, y'all. Obeyed and went. In his faith, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. So can I say this? Without obedience, is it impossible to have faith? In James 1, 3 through 4, it puts it like this: "Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Is obedience the testing of our faith? These are all questions that I have for you guys. These are the questions that God has been stirring up in me of understanding this concept of obedience, of walking and working with him. Faith and obedience are tied together. They're like brother and sister. If you're walking this walk correctly, they should show up daily to your house. Over my walk, over the last, I don't know, I wouldn't say 30 some odd years, you guys. I want to be honest and transparent with you guys. I've been in the church since a very young, young child. But as far as like, I think you get into stages or phases when you walk with God where you understand him and then you have a relationship with him. And that relationship, I would say, would be in the last 10 years of like walking closely in obedience and with faith with God. And so over my walk, I found that God's instruction comes to me daily in a small, still voice. Yes, a small, still voice. And yes, you might be thinking, are there times where God makes his voice loud to get my attention? Yes, of course. But more commonly, it comes when I like to call it the holy 3-second rule. And this is not scripture. This is not Bible. This is my personal experience. So for all my saints, it's not in the book of the Bible. But this is my experience with God, and I call it the holy 3-second rule. I've mentioned it to you guys before, but it's the small duration of time that God is asking you to make a decision on what he's giving you an instruction for. And it may be longer than 3 seconds, but it feels like 3 seconds, at least here on earth. It could be maybe 5 or 10 or maybe 60 seconds, but it's never longer than a minute, because during this time, it's like God is asking me to do things outside of my comfort zone. And it's really just enough time for me to be aware of what God is asking me to do and for me to fight my fleshly feelings at the same time. Have you guys ever felt that way where God's like asking you to make a decision instantaneously? And you're like, wait a minute, God, is that you? Is that my flesh? And who's this? And what, like, what do I do? What do I decide? Like, all these thoughts and emotions, I call it the holy 3-second rule, or I'll call it the holy 3 because there's 3 in 1. I mostly call it this because it feels like if I'm not obedient in this time zone, I miss my opportunity and it escapes. And I then after feel convicted, or I try to go back and right my wrong and I don't have the same feeling. And God is asking us to obey and how quickly we will obey. There's several times in scriptures. You can think of Jonah. You can think of Job. You can think of Joseph. And God just asking if they would be obedient in these small moments. So you're thinking, okay, this holy 3-second rule, Brittany, break it down for me. Okay, in my experience, just within the last 30 days, I have these times with God as I walk where he will ask me to do things. I'll share a couple examples for you. For example, one, I was volunteering at a shelter, and this man didn't have shoes. They were giving out shoes, but they didn't have men's shoes, and his feet were just in so much pain. And you guys, the only source of transportation that homeless people have or people that are displaced are their 2 feet. So I'm like, you can't walk in your shoes. You can't walk anywhere. You can't get from point A to point B. So in the back of my head, I was asking the shelter if they had any. They didn't. And God was like, why don't you buy him shoes? And I was like, God, it's 9:30 in the morning and there's not a shoe store. So I jumped in my car. I went to go buy this man's shoes. I came back. I gave him shoes and the shoes still didn't fit. Here goes a second example. I was with a coworker recently and she was talking about Scientology. And in that moment, before I even got in the car, you guys, I'd asked God, hey, God, show me where you want to use me in this conversation. It was literally as we were departing out of the car that she was talking about Scientology. And I was like, "This, I should ask her if she knows God." But I don't really do that. It was there and then I let it go and then she was out the car. Or it could look like deciding to take action to move to a different place, to move from here to Atlanta and it not working out. Let me share a secret with you guys. Just because you're obedient, it doesn't mean that it will work out. That's a surprise, right? You didn't know that. I'm sure someone has told you in your life that if you would just obey, that it would all work out. That is a lie. That is so much a lie. It works out, but not the way that we want it to work out. I've had so many encounters where I've thought like the obedience was for me and it wasn't for me. It was for someone else. And there's so many times that we are obedient that we'll never understand until we get a chance to meet with God and God can show us to say, oh, your obedience there wasn't really about you. I had someone watching afar and they were just watching you and I needed you to be the messenger. I needed you to be the disciple. I needed you to be the apostle. That was why I asked you to do that. It had nothing to do with you. Perhaps that's why some of you all still have commitment issues when it comes with God, because you try to obey once with no avail. Similarly to prayers, obedience isn't what you can get, but God molding you on his potter's will. It's not about asking God, God, I want this. God, I want that. God, if I'm obedient, look, God, I was obedient in this. God, I was faithful. And God's like, yes, I love that. I love your obedience. I love that you're seeking my face. I love that you are so committed to me. But sometimes it's not about you. I think this is the crux of believers, is that we believe in our own power so much that we believe that we can change things, and we omittedly, whether intentionally or unintentionally, we leave out God. We leave out God. Be honest. How many times have you just thought, if I can just believe a little bit more, if I can just have a little bit more faith, if I can have just a little bit more of this thing, and it will happen, it will come to pass. But deep down in your heart and your spirit, you're believing in yourself. You're marking yourself as a God. Sometimes the obedience is for us, like I mentioned, and sometimes it's for God or for a prayer to be answered. Our disobedience doesn't only hurt us, but it hurts other people that are waiting for God. I say it like this all the time. There's so many of us that have our own feelings and our own emotions, and we choose to disobey what God has asked us to do. Let me put it like this. God has sent out the call, but us, his followers, his people, have decided to delay and do our own thing and have limited others' processes, and essentially, we are killing people's faith. Think about it. Your disobedience doesn't just break you. It breaks others that are waiting on God. Think about the things you've prayed to God for, like, God, I just want you to heal my family. God, will you bring a miracle? God, will you bring someone in my life? Just think of the one person that's hurting, that's looking for God to say, hey, God, if you are really, really who you say you are, bring someone within the next 3 days that just mentions your name. They just need to say Abba. That's all that I'm looking for. And you are the person that has received the assignment, and you're too tired, you're too busy, you don't think it's God. You think that's silly. You think that the person that you're supposed to go up to looks like they're either in a better space or a better position. That's your disobedience. And in your disobedience, you're killing people's faith. And killing people's faith, you're killing their soul. Like, I don't think you guys understand. Think about it. You only exist in your faith because of God's grace and his mercy and his love, but because of someone else's obedience. You are standing here today, believing in the Father, believing in the Son, believing in the Holy Spirit. That's not you. That's based on someone else's obedience to get up, to do something that felt uncomfortable, to say God out loud, to say God boldly, to be in the world of unbelievers, to say, do you know about God? Think about it that way. Every time you deny God's obedience, his instructions, is every time that you're saying no to someone else, that you're allowing someone else to die. And that sounds brash, I know. It's the truth, though. Start looking at it like that. We are here for a moment, you guys. We are here like a mist. We are here for a day. And what would you say to God if you go before his throne and God's like, why were you disobedient 40, 50, 60 times? Those are 60 lives that will now I have to reassign. I've got to re-give someone else a mission. And delaying the process, you guys, we're delaying someone else's relationship. Our forgetfulness does more harm than we can ever imagine. You may be new to hearing from God or feel that you've never heard him before. So how do you know if it's obedience? I'm so glad you asked. Now, I'm not an expert in this, and I feel like just like faith and just like prayers, obedience is some way that God's always talking to you. And so over the years, these are kind of ways that I feel like God has spoken to me when it comes to obedience. Your walk may be different. Your relationship with God may be different. He may choose to speak to you a different way. But these are the things that have helped me along the journey. It usually is in a space or in an area where you're feeling like you're grappling with something. It feels uncomfortable. It's not your normal. It's like something that you would never normally do. Just think of it like if you're not really into loving people, if you're not really generous, and God tells you, hey, I want you to walk over to that person and I want you to pray for them out loud in public. Like, That would be scary, you guys. A lot of us don't pray for people when we say we're going to pray for you. So to imagine God say, I want you to go over to that person and pray to that person out loud, holding hands and declaring over them, you guys, that's a space of obedience. There's been times where, I think it was just last month, I had went somewhere and I got there and the event didn't happen. And I, okay, we'll back up a little bit. God had told me to do this one event. And so I didn't want to go. I was really like in my feelings. It was a holiday. I wanted to sleep in. These are all the fleshly emotions. And I said, okay, God, I'm just going for the one. You got to be careful how you say things to God because he really be out here just listening to you. So I go, I find out that the event is canceled. And I'm like sitting in my car like, dang, God, I drove 30 minutes all the way over here. God lifted my head up and I saw the one. God said, I want you to go and give this man some money. He was homeless, of course. And I went over there. I spoke to him. I prayed for him. And I went home. I was there for probably 10 or 15 minutes. And I was like, okay, God, this is literally for the one. That was obedience. Now, do I know why I went? No. Am I ever going to see that person again? Probably not. But God was working something in me to say, will you be obedient for the one? And I was. Another way is when you don't do it and it's delayed and you have this like second thought or this conviction. Some of you guys don't know what conviction is. It's really this part of God correcting you and showing you. It's God's grace and mercy and his love to show you, hey, you actually stepped off course. I need you to get back on course. What you did isn't what I wanted you to do. And conviction seems very scary for people, but conviction is God's love showing us what the right way is. It's this like guilty feeling in your gut. That's the best way I can explain it. And you keep thinking about it like, dang, like I really should have, maybe. Or like if God tells you to call someone and you're like, no, I'm not going to do it now, whatever. And God keeps putting that person on your heart and you're like, dang, I guess, I mean, let me call them. That's conviction. That's like God showing you to be obedient. Another thing that obedience can look like is sometimes you may receive a confirmation from the person that you obeyed. So example, recently, just this week, I made a short video for a few of my friends. I was on the road. I was tired. I was just like, I'm really not here. But I felt God say, you need to keep edifying your small group circle of faith. So I said, okay, God, here we are out here. Let me do a cute like video, encourage and inspire them. And the person that received it said, this was great. This was something God confirmed something through you. Now, you guys, I wasn't thinking about anything. I wasn't preaching. I wasn't being holy. I just was like, you're amazing. God has designed you for a space like this. I love you. And I kept it pushing. In that instance, God was able to use me in that small obedience, you guys, even in my tiredness, even in my like exhausting and not wanting to do it. And it being just a video to encourage someone else and her saying, yes, this confirmed the very thing that God has been showing me and God has been teaching me. And so I just want to encourage you with those three things. One, if it's feeling uncomfortable to do, if it's not in your normal nature, it's probably God's obedience. If you're feeling convicted or guilty about something that you should have done, it's probably obedience. And the third is when you receive confirmation from someone, yeah, it's definitely obedience. Like, one plus one is two in this instance. And so I want to encourage you guys with that. And it doesn't always have to be deep. I know that we as believers, as people of the body of Christ, is that sometimes we get too deep and religious with things. And usually I'm like, huh? Like, why did God tell me to call this person? And I usually just want to say like, it's not always that deep. Usually it's just something as easy as a phone call, you guys. God will put people on your mind. God will give you small instructions. God will tell you to do small. Just this week, again, God put someone else on my heart and I just called them out of the blue. And usually before I get on these phone calls with people, I'm like, okay, God, fill in the gaps. I don't know what I'm calling this person for. And God moves my mouth. God moves my instruction. In obedience, God is just asking us to show up. He fills in the gaps, the words, the knowledge, the wisdom. He just needs a willing body. And will you be his willing body? So I have some great news for you, though. When you start doing more of this, when you start being obedient in the day to day, the second to second, the minute to minute, you start getting more in tune with God and his direction for your life. You know, all my people that are like, God, I don't hear you. God, what are you saying to me? God's asking you just for the daily obedience. When you start doing the daily obedience, those questions don't seem to be so far removed, right? You don't have to go to God asking, God, what do you want me to do? God gives us multiple assignments daily. It is not a one assignment that we are put on this earth. You have many assignments. You have an assignment today, and I'm sure you maybe forgot about it. Maybe that one thing God told you 2 weeks ago that you haven't done yet, that's your assignment for right now. In the assignments right now, it gets easier to hear and you get to experience him in so many various ways, because that is what a relationship is. It is a commitment. You get various opportunities to experience a person's love. And in this instance, God's love. God has millions of ways to experience his love, his obedience, so we never grow tired of him. I'll share with you guys this week another story, testimony, I am story, because these are all important, you guys. And I was in a drive-thru getting a salad, and there was this long line of at least eight people behind me. And there was this guy at the other entrance right near where you would get your order taken. And he was looking like he was trying to park or he was trying to cut. I don't know. So there was two cars in front of me that decided not to let him go. And I heard God say, let him cut. And I was like, you want me to let him cut? God, there's eight people behind me. Like, they gonna look at me like I'm crazy. And God was like, yeah, I want you to let him cut. So I had this verbal back and forth with God in my car. And yes, FYI, y'all, if y'all ever see me talking to myself, I'm really probably just talking to the Holy Spirit. Thank goodness for the mask right now, because I just be talking to myself all the time, but nobody can see the movement of my mouth. Anyways, I said to God, okay, like, all right, you want me to let him cut? So I let him cut and I kept it pushing. Now, don't miss this part. I let it go. I didn't murmur. I didn't complain. I didn't do a side eye. Like, who does he think he is that he can just cut me, that he can just go in front of me? Doesn't he see all these other people that he's rude, blah, 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 blah. I didn't do any of that. I obeyed and I expected nothing. Let me say that again. I obeyed and I expected nothing. A lot of us are expecting something, and that is looking for God's hand versus God's face. I'll keep going in my story. Once I ordered my salad, I got to the window and the man at the window said, oh yeah, the guy in front of me, the same guy that I allowed to cut, paid for my salad. God had said to me in that instance right there, you guys, if I would just obey and release it to him, he will continue to open blessings he has for me. He will continue to open up the windows of heaven to continue to just bless me just in an abundance. That release part is so crucial. A lot of us are just expecting, 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 expecting. You can't go through this relationship just always expecting. That's not love. That's just selfishness. That's expecting you. That is only fulfilling your needs. Just think of a relationship that you would be in that you're only expecting your spouse to fulfill all of your needs. It's not really a relationship. So what did I do when I learned that the guy paid for me? Well, you know, I did what only made sense. Once you've been favored over and over again, I paid for the person behind me. And I felt like I was walking in so much light and so much purpose at this point. And you guys, this is what daily obedience looks like. Sometimes it comes as free salads, but sometimes it comes as God just giving you a well done. And you keep pushing ahead. This is also how you measure your fruit. Can you imagine, you guys, if the earth was disobedient? We'd either be frozen or we would have died by the sun. Disobedience can also look like walking away or staying when it's very clear that you should have walked away by now. It can look like moving or buying a house when it's not time. It can look like not sharing about your faith or your walk that you believe in God. It could look like not praying for people, even though God has asked you to pray for them very specifically. Whereas obedience looks like waking up early and getting to the office early to lay hands on the workspace, getting up at 12 a.m. to record this episode, protecting your devotion time or your God walks, waking up at 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning to pray or to work on an assignment to study about God and to learn about Him. So what are the consequences of disobedience? Let's pose this question a different way. If you aren't going to listen to God, then why even say you're following Him? That's what the unbelievers do. And further, they claim that they followed God, but they had so many gods, they even had a spot for an unknown God. Maybe that's what's wrong with us. We have too many other gods clogging up our hotline. So my challenge to you this week, as we talk about commitment, as we talk about obedience, is what are you omitting, whether consciously or unconsciously? What are you committed to? And what are you being obedient to? I want you to pray this week that God makes you aware and that you are able to see where He's nudging you to do something out of your comfort zone. What are your first thoughts? Your feelings? Do you do it with a heart of thanksgiving, or do you ignore it? Do you brush it off? Do you consider it silly, foolish? Be careful. If you ignore God's voice for too long, God might choose someone else to carry His message. Our ignorance doesn't make a holy people, set apart, but a folly people, foolish and damned, condemned. So, let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for being the great I Am. We strive to be committed to Your purpose. Strive to be obedient to Your word, Your voice, Your instructions, knowing that Your ways are greater than our ways and our understanding, God. Lord, I ask for forgiveness for the thoughts and the things that we've tried to do on our ownness and our own will and our own might, God. Lord, let us know that obedience is really our love, Your love for us. Your discipline is You favoring over us and protecting us every step of the way. Change our thoughts, change our minds and our makeup to want to obey, to omit ourselves from our own plans, Lord, and to replace You, the big G and the big O and the big D. You are altogether wonderful and lovely, Lord. I pray that anyone that has commitment issues, God, that we are recommitted to You and Your commission and Your goals for our lives, God. Lord, let us know what it is to be loved by You. And to be loved by You is to obey You, God, to take action, to take root, Lord. Anything that's not part of You, Lord, let us remove it. Let us just be in Your presence. Let us be more in tune with Your voice, in tune to Your holy 3 seconds of Your decision, Lord, knowing that You're working things in us, working all things together for Your good, God, that we are just here and being willing bodies to be Your will. Lord, I pray for the people that don't know You, Lord, that they can just hear this and that their hearts will be turned back to You, Lord. Anyone that's fallen from Your way, Lord, I pray that they're recommitted back to You, God. Let us get used to hearing Your sweet, sweet, still voice in the small obedience and the big obedience, God. Heal our hearts, heal our minds, heal our boldness to be on fire for You. Let us all pray this in Your Son's precious name, Jesus. Amen.